Hello everyone, this is Tanika Drake, and I am going to share a book with you that I've written called The Gift of Finding God's Love, Guilt and Shame Turned into My Shine. Please check that book out either on Barnes & Noble, or you can find it at Amazon, or any place where you can get that book. Remember, it is not okay for anyone to hurt or harm you. Please check that book out, and happy reading everyone.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN network. Come join us as we study the Word of God together. Go get your Bible and let's see what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today.
Presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we just ask you right now to open our minds to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we can have a refresher of what's going on. Please go to Jeremiah Chapter 29. All right, Nancy, let's get started.
Jeremiah 29. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon.
Okay, so the reason why we're starting here is because, you know, when we finished 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, they were exiled. So this is to set the stage for Ezra and Nehemiah, right? Mm-hmm. So we know that everybody who survived Nebuchadnezzar exile, he's talking to them. Go ahead.
This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem.
And we talked about this, right? When we were in 1st and 2nd Kings, how they were all deported, right? So that was the last king to go over there, remember? Go ahead.
The letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Jamaria, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Because you have said, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon, thus says the Lord concerning the king who sits on the throne of David, and concerning all the people who dwell in this city, your kinsmen who did not go out with you into exile. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I am sending on them sword, famine, and pestilence, and I will make them like vile figs, that they are so rotten they cannot be eaten. I will pursue them with sword, famine, and pestilence, and will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, a terror, a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them, because they did not pay attention to my words, declares the Lord, that I persistently sent to you by my servants, the prophets. But you would not listen, declares the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, all you exiles, whom I sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning Ahab, the son of Kaliah, and Zedekiah, the son of Maaseiah, who are prophesying a lie to you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall strike them down before your eyes. Because of them, this curse shall be used by all the exiles from Judah and Babylon. The Lord make you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire, because they have done an outrageous thing in Israel. They have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and they have spoken in my name lying words that I did not command them. I am the one who knows, and I am witness, declares the Lord.
Amen. So this sets the stage of what happened before, where we left off, right? Jeremiah was telling them, and Isaiah at the time telling them, hey, Nebuchadnezzar has God's permission to do this. He also gave them a letter saying, hey, this is going to be 70 years. Live your life. Don't, you know, you going there for a purpose. And the purpose is for what? Disobedience, sin, worshiping other gods, doing all kinds of stuff, right? And he says repeatedly and repeatedly, I've sent you prophets to talk to you. So I guess now you don't understand what fat meat is, and that is greasy. Amen? Okay. All right. So let's go to Ezra 1. One second. And so we're going to Ezra 1. And we have already established at the last class, but we're going to repeat it, that Ezra 1 and 2 Chronicles 36, 22-23 reads the same, correct? Yes. Or did we find out something else?
No, they were in alignment.
Okay. So go ahead and read that 1-4.
In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all his people, May his God be with him. And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who was in Jerusalem. Verse 4. And let each survivor, in whatever place he sojourns, be assisted by the men of his place, with silver and gold, with goods and with beasts, besides freewill offerings for the house of God that is in Jerusalem.
Okay, so we know that 2 Chronicles 36, 20 through 23, and Ezra 1, 1 through 3a looks alike, right? Mm-hmm. For reference, we are looking in the Apocrypha for reference only. We're not preaching from it, but we're getting more understanding, okay? So go to page 126 in your supplemental materials. Free to read what it says and see if you hear any similarities.
Chapter 2. In the first year of Cyrus, king of the Persians, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of the Persians, and he made proclamation through all his kingdom, and also by writing, saying, Cyrus, king of the Persians, says, the Lord of Israel, the Most High Lord, has made me king of the whole world, and commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, that is in Judea. If therefore there are any of you that are of his people, let the Lord, even his Lord, be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, that is in Judea, and build the house of the Lord of Israel. He is the Lord that dwells in Jerusalem. Of such, therefore, as dwell in various places, let those who are in his own place help each one with gold and with silver, with gifts, also with horses and cattle, besides the other things which have been added by vow for the temple of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem.
Stop right there. Anybody see any similarities? Please speak, because I'm I don't want to talk to myself. Anybody see any similarities that was in Ezra and what was in Estrada's chapter one, Estra's one and chapter two.
Yes.
What you see similar? Almost verbatim, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so they made a reference to something, right? They made a reference that Cyrus the king, who's in Babylon, is fulfilling the prophecy of Jeremiah, right? And when we was in Jeremiah 29:10-11, it said in 70 years they would have, what would happen? Find it. What verse does it say in Jeremiah? We just got through reading.
Verse
10. Can you repeat what you just said?
My question was, he was fulfilling a prophecy that we just read in Jeremiah. What verse in 29 gives us the prophecy?
14.
We'll go back up.
Oh, you will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I
will. What verse is that?
10.
So for thus said the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill my promise. And his promise is that he's going to take them out of captivity, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so he's fulfilling that through Cyrus, right? And mm-hmm. So everybody was wondering, well, like, Cyrus is the king of Persia, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, what is he talking about? What is, who gave Cyrus something? So it was said that Cyrus was greeted by Daniel. And it's in the writing. But it's also somewhere else that says what Cyrus read, because Cyrus read something that was already prophesied that he was going to do. So we're going to go to Isaiah 44. verse 28. Do me a favor. Read Isaiah 44 and 28. Thanks. To 45 and 1. So read all the way to 45 and 1.
Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall fulfill all my purposes, saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple your foundation shall be laid. Thus says the Lord to his people, to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him, and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him, that gates may not be closed.
So Cyrus reads this and he was like, now mind you, Isaiah and Cyrus don't meet. This is a prophecy before the time. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he gets this material and he's like, what? Mm-hmm. And he understands that God is ordaining his, not saying that he worshiped God, but he's got proven information, this is what he's supposed to do. Everybody get me? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you don't understand, stop me now. So when you go back to Ezra, and we go to verse 4, Cyrus is obligating, basically telling the Jews, you need to go back. Everybody get what I'm saying? He's telling them, you need to go back and rebuild the temple. Now, there is a, we don't know if it's a scriber error or what it is, but the number of years is short of 70 years. The temple was destroyed 587, 586, and they returned around 539, 538. However, they give some type of solutions. Let's go to Genesis 15 and 13. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in the land that is not theirs and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. Okay? Mm-hmm. Then we go to Exodus 12. Verse 40. The time that people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430. At the end of 430 years, on that very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So the same night is the night of watching kept to the Lord by all the people of Israel throughout their generations. I point this out for a reason.
That was Exodus what?
That was Exodus 40 through 41. We talk about this for a reason. God gave a specific time for the people of Israel to be in exile in Egypt, and he gave a specific time for the people of Israel to be exiled in Babylon. One was 430 and one was 70. What they state for the reason why it might be shy of 70 is this is what they're saying. God in his mercy can shorten or elongate his chastisement. But it was time. It also, in other arenas, might be a scriber error. Because God's word never goes what? Void. So 70 years, period. It was a long time, enough time for you to know that you was in trouble. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to 2 Kings. Ooh, y'all thought y'all was going to be away from 2 Kings, huh? 24. and 13. I want to point something out, and I want y'all to keep a pen in that, because I want to go back to Ezra before I get to this point. Do me a favor, just keep a pen, Stacy, on that. It's 2 Kings 24 and 13, and we're going to go back to Ezra so you guys will understand it better. Okay? Mm-hmm. So let's go back to Ezra.
Ezra 1, verse 5.
Uh-huh.
Then rose up the heads of the father's house of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose spirit God has stirred to go up to rebuild the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem. And all who were about them aided them with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, and with costly wares, besides all that was freely offered. Cyrus the king also brought out the vessels of the house of the Lord that Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and placed in the house of his God.
Now let's stop right there. Go back to 2 Kings 24 and 13. Does anybody remember what was, we're going to read that and then we'll discuss it. I'll do that way. Okay? Go ahead, Stacy.
And carried off all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold in the temple of the Lord, which Solomon, king of Israel, had made, as the Lord had foretold.
So if you read before, it says the king of Babylon himself, which is Nebuchadnezzar, that he did all of that. So what do you get from that sentence?
That he just plundered the temple.
And what was left?
Nothing.
Yeah. But that's not what Ezra 1 and 7 says.
Well, he did say, and carried off the treasures
of the house of the Lord. So but I'm just saying, that's what it says. It said he cut them up, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, yeah. So he picked up scraps.
But that's not what happened.
No.
Would y'all read again? He said that Nebuchadnezzar carried away Jerusalem and placed in the house of his gods. So he took some things and carried them away. But when we just left off in 24, it says that Babylon himself and his mother and his servants and his officials are in the palace of officials. And the king of Babylon took in some prisoners. So we're talking about the king of Judah, right? In the 8th year of the reign, and carried off all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut into pieces all the vessels of God in the temple of the Lord. So if you just read 24 and 13 by himself, many, you're correct, Nancy, but many people read it as if he cut everything up and there's nothing left.
Okay.
Does everybody get what I'm saying? So when we read 2 Kings, that by himself, we're not expecting to see what we see in Ezra.
Got it, right.
However, they kept those things. Okay? Everybody get me?
Mm-hmm.
Please stop me if you don't get it. Okay? Now, if we go to Daniel, verse 1 and 2. Steve, you want to read that for me? Chapter 1, verse 2. But start at 1 for me.
In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God.
Okay, so he placed the treasury of his God, right?
Okay.
Okay, let's go back to Ezra.
So God is going to always keep a remnant of his stuff.
Okay, go to verse 8, 1 and 8, correct.
Cyrus, king of Persia, brought these out in the charge of Methedra, the treasurer, who counted them out to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah.
So we're talking about the things that Nebuchadnezzar carried away, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And this was the number of them: 30 basins of gold, 1,000 basins of silver, 29 censers, 30 bowls of gold, 410 bowls of silver, and 1,000 other vessels. All the vessels of gold and silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up when the exiles were brought up from Babylonia to Jerusalem.
Okay. Take your calculators out. Add those figures up. For those in TV land out there, 30 basins plus 1,000 of silver, 29 censers, 30 bowls of gold, 410 bowls of silver and gold, and they said, and 1,000 other vessels, and it's supposed to total 5,400. Anybody get 5,400?
No.
$24.99.
Okay, let's go to back to our Apocrypha. And I'm going to read it out, and y'all add it up on y'all calculator. Everybody ready? Verse, and I'm gonna start. First, you know I'm pronouncing it wrong.
What page
are you on? I'm in the Apocrypha 126. We ain't left that page.
Oh.
Yes, we ain't left that page. Chapter. We're still in chapter 2. We're still on 126. We're not going to get off that page. So everybody get me.
Okay.
All right, we're going to stay in chapter 2 today. All right, and I'm going to start at verse 11. Okay, 2 and 11. King Cyrus also brought out the holy vessels of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem. And he set up his temple of the idols. Now, when Cyrus, the king of Persia, had brought them out, he delivered them into his treasurer, Mithridates. And they were delivered by him to Sanabassar, the governor of Judea. And this was the number of them. Everybody ready?
Mm-hmm.
1,000 golden cups, 1,000 cups of silver, 29 censers of silver, 30 vials of gold and silver, 2,410 of silver, 2,410, and other vessels, 1,000. So all the vessels of gold and silver were brought up. Even 5,469 were carried back by Sanabassar together with them at the captivity from Babylon to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. When you do the math out of this book, do you get the number that 5,400? Mm-hmm. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
So we got I'll just do the numbers. 1,000, 29, 30, 2,410, and 1,000.
Yep.
What do y'all get?
5,469.
5,469, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not saying that the Bible we're reading is wrong, but it fills in the blanks that when the scriber converted it, they missed some stuff. It's just got a more accurate accounting, right? Mm-hmm. So that makes 54,000. So, 100, sorry, 5,400. Either way, when people, if y'all did this research, y'all would be amazed on how they try to figure out what's the right number. Oh, somebody must have messed up or inverted it. But in reality, we know that Ezra and the people of that time were good with the accounting. And the treasurer of Babylon was not going to miss one thing because it was his job to count the spoils, correct? Mm-hmm. So they kept an accounting of what came over and what left out, okay? Please note that another thing happened. They actually got in, the kings of Babylon actually got in trouble for using some of these things in their ceremonies. And we'll talk more about that when we get to Daniel, but I wanted to let y'all know that God's things are ordained, right? Mm-hmm. All right. So we got those figures all together, right? Mm-hmm. I thought that would be something neat to add up, okay? Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go back to verse 5 of Ezra. I want to talk about something. It says, then they rose up the heads of the fathers, the houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests of Levites, everyone whose spirit of God had stirred up to go up to rebuild the house of the Lord that is Jerusalem. We talked about this last week, but I wanted to also talk about it again. Just because they named the Levi, Judah, and Benjamin, does that mean that that's the only people that went?
No.
What does that mean? But they all
there's
the same. That's the same house.
There's many of them.
The Levites are part of Judah and Benjamin. Mm-hmm.
So the priests went up.
The house of Judah and Benjamin. Remember when we left, the house of Judah and Benjamin was one house.
Right. That's the southern king.
Yeah.
Right. But what I'm saying is does that mean that they're the only people that return back to rebuild the temple?
No.
What does it mean?
Maybe the other people weren't accounted for,
but it's in the sentence, y'all.
But they just probably were the one who started, who led.
No, go back to 5.
Everybody who's spirit God
has stirred up and go up to rebuild.
Yeah, thank you. It ain't that complicated. I wasn't tricking y'all, it was in the sentence.
So everybody else who's God's spirit.
No, what I was saying was last week I said that just it was more than just the Levites and the Benjamites that went up, right? Because a lot of people talk about the lost tribes of Judah. I mean, of Israel. There's no lost tribes. They just intermingled with each other, correct? And it's important that we talk about this because in chapter 2, when we get there, you'll see why that's important. Okay? So when they return, let's go to 2 Chronicles 11. And 16. Okay. Nancy, read that for me.
Second Chronicles 11 and 16.
Mm-hmm.
And those who had set their hearts to seek the Lord, God of Israel, came after them from all the tribes of Israel to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord, the God of their fathers.
So we're talking about when Rehoboam first started, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And he was sending out Jeroboam sent out Rehoboam. Remember, they split up the kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's and Jeroboam said, "Nah, I don't want y'all priests, right?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, get where I'm at." Mm-hmm. And it says, "And those who had set their hearts to seek the Lord of God of Israel came after them." It was not only the priests that went there, But there was also some people from where? The northern kingdom that went there. So at the beginning, they had already started intermingling. It wasn't just the set 12 tribes. Does everybody get what I'm saying? If you don't, please say something right now. So when Rehoboam and Jeroboam split, remember Rehoboam is Solomon's son, and Jeroboam is the person that God had set to go be over the house of Israel. Right. Even then, there were some intermingling of the tribes to go back to the house of Judah. Mm-hmm. Does everybody get what I'm saying?
So you're saying even though the northern kingdom was decimated by Assyrians, there was enough of the northern tribe that went down to Judah, the righteous tribe.
Correct.
Commingled with Judah.
Correct.
Because the only requirement was that they be Israelites.
Correct.
So what she's saying is you could have intertribe intermarrying with no problem.
Right.
That's not a problem.
So it wasn't a bad thing. Even though they split, they still brothers and sisters.
Right.
Right? And so some people who had a true heart for God said, I'm not staying with Jeroboam because I already see where he's going. Right. I'm finna go ahead and be under David's kingdom.
Right.
So it was already intermingled at that time. So it makes sense now that we are after the captivity that some of those people's descendants are with them. They mentioned the Levites, Benjamin, and Judah because those are the ones that we know for certain, for sure, were put in captivity together. But just because they mentioned them does not mean it was an exclusive list. Okay. It was very inclusive. Okay? Mm-hmm. And when you go back to Ezra and you read it, it says now, and that's what we talked about, and it says, then rose up the heads of the fathers, house of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose spirit of God has stirred up to go to rebuild the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem. So they're saying those were the main dominant tribes, but there were other people there as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we hear Vince, that, you know, you hear this, what 10 lost tribes. They have never been lost. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And people say that, but that's not true.
And it's not biblical.
And it's not biblical. God has always known his people at.
Now, let's go to 1 Chronicles 9 and 3.
And some of the people of Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh lived in Jerusalem.
Go to verse 1.
So all Israel was recorded in genealogies, and these are written in the book of the kings of Israel. And Judah was taken into exile in Babylon because of their breach of faith. Now the first to dwell again in their possessions in their cities were Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the temple servants. And some of the people of Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh lived in Jerusalem.
Wow! Anybody hear something different? Who heard it?
Ephraim and Manasseh.
But then, no. Go back up. So all of Israel was recorded in the genealogies, and they were written in the book of the kings of Israel. Of course, we don't have the book of kings of Israel, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And Judah was taken into exile in Babylon because of their breach of faith. Now, the first to dwell again in their possession in the land city were Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the temple servants. Anybody see what I used to use?
Israel is in there, and that's part of the northern kingdom, so it's everyone.
And it's in Chronicles. So remember when we talked about last week, how they stated that Chronicles went along with Ezra and Nehemiah because it does the same thing it did for Kings. It subsidizes what is not said. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Confirm. I shouldn't say subsidize, but confirms. Okay. Gives you more information. So my statement saying that it wasn't just the house of Judah there and the house of Levi, because there's two separate houses. Right? Mm-hmm. The house of Israel was there too. They just weren't dominant.
Right. Okay.
You also got to think about who wrote these books. Most of these books were written by Judah. We don't have the house of Israel's book. Because Chronicles, remember when we was in 2 Kings and I kept going back to 2 Chronicles? Because 2 Chronicles chronologizes the house of what? Judah. It did not go, I couldn't go back to Chronicles to find out what happened to Israel too much. Remember? Mm-hmm. Everybody with me? Mm-hmm. Any questions before I go to somewhere else? Okay.
I don't have a question
yet. All right. Note, many Jews who had the correct lineage wanted to stay in Babylon because they saw no reason to leave. Because so basically they violated, you know, what God wanted them to do. But the new community is defined by the responsiveness to God and not necessarily by birth. Does that sound familiar? The new community that's going over there is not really about the lineage. Mm-hmm. It's about who believed.
Right.
Oh. Who had faith. So does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
What does it sound like?
The church.
The church. Christianity. That's what we do. So remember when I talked about last week that Ezra and Nehemiah age is the start of the Christianity type of thinking. This right here shows you that they even started back then. Mm-hmm. Does everybody get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you don't, please ask questions before I go somewhere else. All right. Let's go back to Ezra. I believe we completed chapter 1, correct?
Mm-hmm. All okay, right, folks. Okay, folks, y'all. So,
we're talking about everybody,
all the Israelites, no matter what house they from, everybody, done being exiled in Babylon, they finna go back to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Everybody, mm-hmm. all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And also in them is people outside of the houses, but are believers. That's my question.
Gentiles.
So we got all of the Israelites from all of the tribes, all of the houses. They all going back to Jerusalem. And also mm-hmm. Gentiles that believe are also going with them back to Jerusalem. No,
that's okay. Not what I said.
No.
Ask the question again. So go back. Let's go back.
The believers, you said, the believers, the ones that's like the church. I know we're not talking about the church, but the point that you was trying to make, I understand that all of Israel going back. And who else going, who?
That's it. When she say all of Israel, what she mean is there's a remnant from each tribe.
Yeah.
That's all of Israel.
Oh, okay.
That's not everybody. That's just, when she says everybody, she means somebody, it might be 30, I mean, it's going to go into the thing then later down the line, but it's like 35 of the house of Issachar, 15 of the house, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they all went back. They all are believers because their northern kingdom got decimated.
Okay.
And they had already migrated to Judah during the time of the conflict. So when they got taken into captivity, what Venus is saying, there are those who that wanted to go back. But then remember what it said in Jeremiah 29:11. He told them to prosper. Yeah. There are some that didn't want to go back.
Okay.
Because they would say, I got a good here. What am I leaving for?
Okay. So it's those that believe. It's right. Not from the ones that was prosperous.
Yeah. So it's not from the dominant. Okay. It's that, and so all of them believe. And you'll understand this point when we get to chapter 2.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to go to chapter 2. We're going to start chapter 2. Because chapter 2, whoo, Jesus. And I think what I'm going to do is chapter 2, I'm not finna kill Nancy. So we just gonna do 2 and 1, and I'll tell you where to stop.
I was practicing last night. I would pre-read.
Go do verse 2 and 1.
Okay. Now, these were the people of the province who came up out of the captivity of those exiles whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried captive to Babylonia. They returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each to his own town. They came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Sariah, Reliah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizpar, Bigvai, Rehum, and Baana.
So I want to talk about Zerubbabel. He's the grandson, the seed of King Jehoiada, and they try to some writings say that him and this other person were going to go to Haggai 1 and Zechariah 4, and because I can't pronounce his name, but I'm going to say she, Sabazar, are the same person, but they're not, okay? But it was important to mention him because he's from the line of David, okay? So let's go to Haggai. I'll give you a little time to get there. But it's two books before Malachi. And it's Haggai 1:1. Second year of Darius the king. We'll be talking about him soon. In the sixth month of the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest. I'm only mentioning them because they're going to be, these two people are going to be important in later chapters. But it shows you right now that Zerubbabel is a governor of Judah. He's not the king, but he has the lineage. Everybody get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we go to Zechariah, which is right after Haggai, so you don't have to look too much. And if you go to Zechariah 4:4, it says, And I say to the angel who talked to me, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said, do you not know what these are? I said, no, my Lord. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by my might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the top stone and shouts of grace and grace to it. Then the word of the Lord came to me and saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts that sent me to you. For whoever despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hands of Zerubbabel. So y'all see that these two prophets, and remember I talked to you last week, these are the major prophets that they mentioned in Ezra, have stated that Zerubbabel, and in some versions, the high priest that they mentioned, they call him Joshua, in some versions, are important to the rebuilding of the temple and of Jerusalem, okay? So they mention them by name, okay? Now, go back to Ezra 2. I am not that mean to say we need to go over all these numbers, okay? So verses 3 through 58 are all the people who bloodline can be traced and who went to the exile's return. Mm-hmm. You can read that for yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Does everybody understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay? But we're going to start at verse 59. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I want you to read verse 59, just verse 59 for me, Nancy.
Okay. The following were those who came up from Tel Malah, Tel Harsha, Cherub, Adan, and Immer, though they could not prove their father's house or their descent, whether they belonged to Israel.
So these, and so then all of these people under them to verse 62 could not prove their lineage. So go to verse 62.
These sought their registration among those enrolled in the genealogies, but they were not found there, and so they were excluded from the priesthood as unclean.
So they could, even though they probably went to school and everything, when Ezra came back, Ezra was cleaning house. And so they basically had to prove, you know, who they was, how they were related to whom, and they didn't have any ways of verifying who they were to be a priest, right? Because Levitical priests had to have a lineage, right? So we go to 1 Chronicles 5, verse 7 through 8. Steve, read that for me.
And his brethren by their families, when the genealogy of their generations was registered, the chief Jeiel and Zechariah and Bela, the son of Azaz, the son of Shema, the son of Joel, who dwelt in Arior, as far as Nebo and Baal Meon. Eastward they settled as far as the entrance of the wilderness, this side of the river Euphrates.
Now let's go to the same chapter, not chapter, but same book, chapter 9, verse 22. Go ahead, Steve.
All those chosen as gatekeepers were 212. They were recorded by their genealogy and their villages. David and Samuel, the seer, had appointed them to their trusted office.
Okay, now look at the title of chapter 9. What does it say, Nancy?
Title, A Genealogy of the Returned Exiles.
So that they have a genealogy of who is supposed to go where, right? Mm-hmm. Without written proof, they could not remain part of the Levitical community. They was disqualified as Levitical priests, but they could do, and they could not offer any holy offerings. Mm-hmm. So this must be devastating to these people, right? And let's go back to Ezra, because there's a sentence there that I want to talk about. And then I'll put a star about next to it. Hold on. We go about back to 62. Ezra 2 and 62, Nancy.
These sought their registration among those enrolled in the genealogies, but they were not found there. And so they were excluded from the priesthood as unclean. The governor told them that they were not to partake of the most holy food until there should be a priest to consult Urim and Thummim.
So today, we're going to talk about that, and then we'll pick up at verse 64 next week, okay? So Urim and Thummim were means by which the high priest communicated with God, and they learned what God wanted to do. So let's go to Numbers 27 and 21. and he shall stand before Ezra the priest, and he shall inquire for him by the judgment of the interim before the Lord. And at his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the people of Israel with him, the whole congregation. So that's mentioned there too, right? Mm-hmm. So if anybody's like me, I'm like, that still don't make no sense what they're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to, in our Apocrypha book, first, ESD, chapter 5. We'll go to page 130. Verse 40 gives us an explanation of what they're talking about. And I will read that. For Nehemiah and Estrada said to them that they should not be partakers of the holy things until there arose up a chief priest wearing lights and perfection. So that's an explanation of the chief priest had to go before God and God had to verify them. So basically, in our terms, is they in Bible terms, the New Testament, it says when Elijah comes back, or when we say when Jesus come back, that's when you'll be able to partake. So whenever Jesus come back, you'll be able to eat this. You'll be able to be a priest. In their term, whenever Elijah come back, you'll get to do this. But Elijah wasn't coming back, so basically, they never got to be priests again because they didn't have proof. And in Levitical matter, you have to show who you are because you got to make sure that you're able to give these offerings. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? I'm being flippant about it, but that's exactly what it means. So instead of using those two words, I went to that book so y'all could understand that that's what that means, that the chief was wearing the lights and perfections, which means the priest had authority from God to say, you are who you say you are. Everybody get me?
Yeah, so the people that we're talking about now, they were acting as priests when they was exiled in Babylon, but when it was time to go back home, Ezra was like, no, because we ain't got no proof that y'all real priests.
They were trained, yes. But when Ezra says we gotta make sure you say who, you know, you are from the correct lineage, and they had to verify. Okay, if you go into the page that I just left off on, chapter 5 of the Apocrypha, it does the same thing that Ezra does, but it's way more detailed on who was who. And then I also wanted you to know that they also explain who was counted, and we'll talk about that next week. Okay? And it says the high priest wore breastplates, and some say that was the Urim and Thummim as well. So some people say it's lights and perfection, and the other ones were saying that they were referring to the breastplate. When you listen to, what's his name I listened to? What is his name? Give me one second, because I'm listening to him in preparation of this literature. Give me one second, because I think it's important.
You talk about the one we normally get.
Yeah, I'm talking.
Dr. Messler.
Yeah, he said it's the breastplate. However, the commentary that I'm reading from, which is the New International Commentary on the Old Testament by Harrington, she gave me the reference to the Apocrypha. Either way, it don't matter. It does matter, but it does. And for our sakes, is that these priests could not be priests because they couldn't prove their lineage, and they had to wait until Elijah came or Jesus came to verify them. Mm-hmm. Okay, in this essence, they would say until Elijah came. Okay, and everybody remember Elijah went up to the holies of holies and disappeared, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay, Elijah, right? All right, so when we come back next week, we're still going to be in chapter 2. We're going to start on in verse 64. Does everybody understand why I skipped a lot of chapter 2? Because it's all names, and it wasn't anything of substance that we would be able to get out of it, right? Okay. All right. Before I close, any questions before I start to pray? He's from the line of David, but it's Jehoiakim, you know. But he's from that line. He's from the line of David. So if the kingdoms were not disbanded, he would have been in the line to be king. Instead, he became a governor. Okay? Is everybody with me about that? You will learn more about him as we go into the other chapters. Anything else? Okay. All hearts and minds together. And God, we just thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to today's teaching. We hope you have been inspired and encouraged. Please look in the description box for our contact information. All are welcome, and we look forward to connecting with you soon. Be encouraged, blessed, and at peace, and remember, walk in truth.